From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And today is Veterans Day, when we honor the millions of Americans who've served our country. More than 2 million American veterans are women, and they make up 17% of the current military, according to stats from 2021. They're a smaller share of the veteran population in America, about 10%. On top of the many challenges that veterans in general face, women vets have additional hurdles. They served in an organization that's predominantly male, putting them at higher risk of isolation and victimization. After they've served, their contributions often go unrecognized. And on top of that, the resources available to serve veterans often are not tailored to meet the needs of women. For the first part of our program today, we're going to talk about some of the experiences of women who've served and reflect on some of the struggles they may have faced after their service. Karen Onasorg, nicknamed Bama, is a veteran of the Air Force. She's based now in the Dubuque tri-state area, where Iowa, Wisconsin, and Illinois intersect. And she's fundraising coordinator for a veterans group called Tri-State Women Warriors. Karen, or Bama, if I may, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Larissa Dianuski served for 6 years in the Illinois Army National Guard and then another year in the Army Reserve. She was deployed to Afghanistan during her service. She now resides in Lake in the Hills in the Chicago suburbs. Larissa, welcome to you as well.
Thank you so much.
And Lenore Branch served 20 years in the Air Force. She's based in St. Louis. She founded a group there for women veterans called Sisters in Service, Greater St. Louis. Lenore, thank you for making time to be with us.
Hi, Brian. Thank you so much for having me.
And I should note, in order to make our schedules meet, we taped this conversation yesterday afternoon. Because of that, we cannot take your calls live today, but we'll be sharing some thoughts we got from listeners in our texting group for this conversation. You can join that for future programs by sending the word TALK to 217-803-0730. That's 217-803-0730. Just send the word TALK. All right, I want to start by asking each of you what led you to serve. And Bama, I'm going to start with you.
Well, first of all, I came from a background of family that we really couldn't afford college. And I wanted to do something more with my life and with a little bit more meaning. So I met some friends that were already in the military, and I thought that is a good path to go to and something I can be proud of and grow on.
We got a text from a listener named Tony in Champaign who said, "When I was in the Army, women were looked on rather harshly by the rank and file, so I sympathize with them. It was unfair. They're much more present nowadays." Bama, I wonder if you saw any of that in your time in the Air Force.
Absolutely. I was in during back in the 1990s, and it was a different world. Women were kind of a second class citizen when it came to stripes and promotions. You might be taking a back seat. It was, and back then, compared to the numbers now, we were maybe 2-3% of the population of the military at the time. So definitely a lot of that happened then. It still goes on today, but we're making great strides to lessen the gap on that.
Yeah, 1 in 50 instead of 1 in 6. That's quite a difference.
Yeah.
Larissa Dianuski, let me bring you into the conversation. What brought you to military service?
Well, I'm going to be honest. I drank too much in college, and I had to find a way to get myself out of a bad mental place and drinking. So there's a war going on for about 7 years. And I thought, well, if who else is going to do the job, I might as well. So I joined the Illinois National Guard. I joined the Guard too, because I'm very much a homebody, and like, I love Illinois. I love my country. I love my state. I'm kind of cheesy like that.
And you're certainly not the first person to use the military as sort of as a reset button on your life. What are some key memories from your time in the service?
So I have just met the best people ever. I mean, not everything I did in the military was great, and not every experience was wonderful. There's a lot of hard stuff, a lot of heartache. But when I look back on my service, it's the people I served with. I got really lucky because my job is a very like female heavy job. So my unit was mostly women. So I got to have command, you know, sergeant majors and officers and staff sergeants. As soon as I got there, they were all female. So it was really lucky to have that experience. So when I think of my time in service, I think of it like almost as like a girls' club. It wasn't until I got out, you know, and I came home where I was like, what do you mean you don't think I'm a veteran? Like, what do you mean you don't put lip gloss on or do your mascara before you go into field? That's so crazy.
I want to come back to your homecoming and that adjustment in a minute, but Lenore Branch, let me bring you into the conversation and ask that sort of baseline question. Why did you choose to serve?
Yeah, thank you so much for asking such an important question. For me, joining the military was about living the American dream, taking advantage of the opportunities my parents worked so hard to create. And my parents, you know, they came to the U.S. from Mexico so my sister and I could have a better life. And leaving home was not easy for me because in our culture, family is everything to us. We're very close, especially my mom and me. So when I decided to enlist, it wasn't just about me. It was about honoring the sacrifices my parents made for us to be here.
And you served in the Air Force for 20 years. How did you see the service change during your time?
Oh, and the plan was just to do 4 years, but you know how that goes. 4 years roll around and then you get an assignment to something like Germany in my case, and how was I supposed to turn that down, right? Like either I go back to Chicago doing what I was doing before or not having a clue where I was going to end up or go to Germany. And so continuing to serve, I can see the difference. And again, same thing that Larissa shared is the people, the relationships, and the experiences that you just come across, whether it's different assignments or work ethics, career fields. I started off in the administration field and knew that that really wasn't for me. I wanted to try something else. So it gave me the opportunity to seek out a volunteer career field, which I became a recruiter. And I felt like that aligned more with my purpose and my why in the military is by helping other people with similar stories or that I can share, like the military can really change the trajectory of your life.
So let's talk about adjusting to civilian life. Larissa, you hinted at this, that maybe sometimes people don't buy the story that you're a veteran. Talk about what that experience has been like for you.
Yeah, so I actually was married to a British veteran, and we would going to like just Veterans Day things. People would always thank him for his service and just like kind of pass me by. And I'm like, but I'm the American veteran. I was like, he's not even this country's veteran.
Oh boy.
So I've had that. I luckily have found some really great organizations and groups where I've been able to connect with other female veterans. So I do get a lot of wonderful time with women. And I'm really appreciative of that. But there was one time when I first came back and it was like Veterans Day and there was just some young guy and he was like, oh, you were in the Army? So you were in like WAC, like Women's Auxiliary Corps?
And I'm like you were born and serving in the 1940s or
exactly.
God.
I was like, no, I'm a combat veteran. I went to combat. I had a gun. Yes, there's paperwork, but no. So I think there's like still kind of like that confusion that we're like more support, that we're not always the ones alongside. But when my time was in service, I was actually in an infantry brigade. I sometimes like trying to explain that to people is frustrating. I used to get a lot and I still get a lot of like, well, what do you feel like? What do you think of women in combat? And I'm like, could you have asked me years ago? Like, could you ask me before I went? Like, why are you asking me after I went?
Lenore, what was your experience of sort of adjusting back to civilian life after 20 years of service?
Yes, it was absolutely the most hardest part of my journey. You know, when you serve, you build a community, people who understand you without needing to explain yourself, such as, you know, we share our mission, a rhythm, a language, And then one day it's just all gone. And there's really no preparation for that. Yes, we go through taps and there's all this information overload. It's like drinking out of a water hose. And you're just trying to figure out life along with, okay, where are my kids? If you're moving, where is home now? What's my next job? And there's just so many emotions that the support, you just need that, the support that you once had in the military, but it's different where you don't have it readily available to you anymore. So it's a strange feeling going from structure to purpose, to suddenly asking, like, who am I now? I was Sergeant Branch for so long, and now I got to figure out who Lenore is. It was very eye-opening because it's like you're relearning what you like, what your purpose is, what you're meant to do, life after the uniform.
Yeah,
And so for me,
who you are as an adult. Yeah, absolutely.
yes, exactly. And I poured my heart and soul into the mission. I love what I did, but I also knew that it was time for my family to get settled. My husband and kids, they needed that stability, school routines, community roots. And as much as I wanted to keep growing in the military, because I had those big dreams, I wanted to reach the highest rank. But I knew the sacrifice was now shifting to them, and that's what felt right.
Bama, let me ask you about that. So veterans, you know, there are all these services that are supposed to be for veterans. Do women face particular challenges in accessing those resources?
Absolutely. And that was one of the reasons we started the Tri-State Women Warriors, because since we're such a small part of the military and veteran population, comparatively, not a lot of time and attention has been put into what we need for our healthcare needs are absolutely so different than the male healthcare needs, but they're so focused on that kind of we have fallen through the gaps. And so we reach out a lot and advocate a lot to Congress, to our senators, to the VA. We've had meetings with the VA administration talking about, hey, we women need some other things. We need some more things that you don't have that are very important to our health and well-being.
Lenore, let me read another text message. This is from a listener, Lloyd, in Danville, who said, Veterans Day is a reminder of what price is paid to protect our democracy. Our country has fallen short of recognizing women of color. Look at the movies that have been made recently about black women in our armed services. Lloyd then goes on to mention two women in central Illinois who, quote, both suffer from service-related illnesses, but walk through it every day with their heads up. Thank you for that message. Lenore, do you find there are certain perceptions and maybe misperceptions, misconceptions people have of, you know, who a veteran is, what a veteran looks like?
Oh, absolutely. We get it all the time where the perception is a veteran is, for the most part, a male with a military cut. And like my husband, he served for 4 years. And you see him wearing most of the military colors, the sage green, the hat, the veteran's hat. And most women don't put themselves out there as a veteran where it's noticeable to the public, like the veteran hats, to show that we have served. But absolutely, it's something that I've seen even in the VA hospital where they see my name alone and they call me as a Mr., just assuming that I am a male. So it's so important for us to stand up as women veterans, and it's exactly what we do in our nonprofit Sisters in Service, is to be able to continue show the representation and awareness of the big population that we're growing into of women who have served and continuing to serve.
Yeah, well, we need to take a break on the program in about a minute here, but talk a little bit about that because you founded this organization. What were you trying to achieve with that?
During my transition, I realized that I was in isolation. I was by myself when I was going through so much. And so I realized that community is just so important. It's everything. It's what we lose the most when we transition. And that's what we need in order to rebuild. And a true community is a group of people who care for one another's welfare, who see each other and invest in one another and grow together. And I saw myself sitting at coffee shops by myself, and I just thinking, I cannot be the only person going through this. And just started to reach out to fellow women veterans in the local area, complete strangers, just inviting them to meet up for coffee. And so I guess that's one of the traits as a recruiter that helped me bring into my my purpose now is reaching out to strangers and just getting to know them and developing these relationships where we're like, okay, now we're this support group and we then evolved into a nonprofit so we can ensure that there's no other woman veteran or woman in the service that is walking this part of life and journey alone.
All right, we're going to take a break on the program. We will continue this Veterans Day conversation after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking for the first part of our Veterans Day program with Illinois women who served their country. We got text messages on this, including one from Amy in Wakanda, who said, in part, Veterans Day is about getting a chance to focus awareness on groups working to make sure that veterans get the benefits they were promised when they signed their lives over to service for our country. Delivering anything less than excellence or better to them is a disgrace in the wealthiest nation on earth. We're talking with Air Force veteran Karen Bama Onasorg, who now lives in Dubuque. She's fundraising coordinator for a veterans group called Tri-State Women Warriors. Also with us is Larissa Dianuski, who served in the Illinois Army National Guard and then the Army Reserve. She's now in Lake in the Hills in the Chicago suburbs. And Lenore Branch is an Air Force veteran. She's founder of a group for women veterans called Sisters in Service Greater St. Louis. In order to make our schedules meet, we tape this conversation on Monday, so no calls, but you can let us know what you think. Our email address, talk@21stshow.org. Bama, I'm going to come back to you because I want to ask you a little bit about current events, if you're willing to talk about it. We've seen the current Secretary of Defense, or Secretary of War, as he would like it to be known, talking about changing standards in the military. And some observers say that one of the net consequences of this is going to be that women will be unlikely to serve in as many of the roles as they have been in recent years. And I wonder what you think about that.
Well, this has gone back. This is a issue that has gone back and forth for years and years, ever since I was in. And I think we feel strongly that, you know, let us do our jobs. One of the bases for them saying that is because women are the ones that reproduce. And that's been for ages. That's one thing, but there's other things that women and the quality of what they can bring to the table is diminished by saying we're not able to do certain roles. I mean, we are as capable as anybody else. And I think those choices should be left up to us. We have had women in combat now for quite a while, and I think that women can do just as good of a job, if not sometimes better. We tend to be different kind of thinkers, and that sometimes works out a lot better for people. So, yeah, we are strongly advocating for them not to push us back into the corners again.
And Larissa, I wonder if you have a perspective on that as well.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be a mother if it wasn't for my time in service, because that is where I met my children's father. So I always kind of like laugh at that, because I'm like, well, that's the whole reason why I was a stay-at-home mom for 10 years is because of the Army. I blame the Army for it, to be honest. But the thing is that women do meet the standard. Not all women and not all men meet those standards. And that's why certain jobs are only open to people who do make certain standards. But after a 20-year war with an all-volunteer force, can the military really afford to cut people out for things that we could maybe just adjust the policy for? God forbid something happens and we need people to go overseas. Are we going to have enough people if we take half the population out of that equation?
Well, and I think as we saw in modern wars, and you probably lived this firsthand in Afghanistan, the idea of having combat units and non-combat units when, you know, you're in sort of an insurgency situation, that distinction doesn't really exist on the ground, yeah?
It does not. And I got my period in combat, and I was fine. So I just want to be like on the record saying that. Like, that's not a problem. Women can do it. I did it. I have tons of people that I've known that have done it. Just need to give them the opportunity. I don't think gender plays into somebody's patriotism. Like, that shouldn't make a difference if they want to serve their country or not, is what gender they are. And I know I heard a bunch too from like my friends who were civilians. Like, when I joined, they're like, "Well, I probably couldn't do what you do." And I was like, "No, you really could." And I was trying to figure out like, why do they think that they can't do it? And I'm like the most delusional person, like barely meeting the standards. Like, I can do this. And I think it's just like, no, having that belief that I could do it, just having somebody tell me that I could do it. I think we just need, like, I'm always like, we just need to tell girls that they can do it. And I think that's all we need. If we tell them that they can't do it, they're not going to do it. I'm sorry. That's kind of a run-on sentence, but
No, your point is clear. Your point is clear. Lenore Branch, what do you think? Would you tell a young woman coming up to you considering military service? Do you think it's still as you know, potentially as positive an experience as you may have had? If I'm accurately characterizing what I think you described your time in the service as.
Oh yes, this actually just happened to me recently. As a former recruiter, I feel like I'm always a recruiter. And any time that I see, especially a young lady who shows interest in joining the military, I love to have those conversations and encourage them to do so. Because if they're looking at joining, there's a bigger reason why. And so I had someone who was my nail technician. And you see me and you don't really think that what my story is of serving or going to combat, serving in Iraq. And once I start to give a little bit of that information to especially women, you could just see their eyes just widen and just are just so interested in asking more questions about it. Like, wow, like you did that, you went. And it's these type of things that sometimes I know I take for granted until you share that story with somebody else and they make a really big deal about it. And for her situation, I gave her some pointers of studying the ASVAB and how to have a successful first try to meet with the recruiter and pass all the expectations, what to expect, and just tell her, like, I'm one of the women that have served, and if I could do it, you can do it too.
That's the ABSAB is the assessment test, I guess, for placement in the military.
Correct. Yes,
Yeah.
that's
Okay.
correct.
Well, we're coming to the end of our time together. I want to ask each of you in turn, and Lenore, maybe I'll stick with you. What does Veterans Day mean to you?
Oh, Veterans Day is just, it's always emotional for me. It's a time to reflect, to honor, and to remember why we served. And as a woman veteran, it also means standing tall with others who paved the way for us. Women didn't always have the opportunity to serve, just like we were just talking about. Those who came before us fought hard for equality, for recognition, and for the right to wear the same uniform. This year, actually yesterday, I just went to my daughter's Veterans Day assembly and watched the veterans stand up for different war eras, each with their own stories and sacrifice, which is such a powerful reminder. And so Veterans Day also means honoring those stories and continuing that legacy through the work that we do here at Sisters in Service. And lastly, I just want to share that our mission is to ensure that the contributions of women veterans aren't forgotten, that our stories, our leadership, and our resilience continue to inspire the next generation.
And Larissa, what about you? What does Veterans Day mean to you?
Yeah, so my first Veterans Day, I was actually in England, and there it's Remembrance Day, and so it's more of like Memorial Day. So this time of year, it's kind of like a mix of like the people who we lost, and the people that we like continue to lose because of their time in service. It's just time to like think about that and just remember their sacrifices. But it's also really nice because, like my service time wasn't all great, but I got so many good things out of it. You know, I wouldn't have my two beautiful kids for without being in the army. I have this great sisterhood and brotherhood that's just my purpose in my life. And I joined the army to get out of the bad situation. And then later on in life, when I was really struggling with like my mental health and personal problems, I reached out again to like veterans organizations and the Vet Center and just Mission Continues, just different groups that really helped give me back like that sense of community and purpose. So it without my fellow veterans, like I just wouldn't be here today. And I get to still serve my community and my country because I get to do that with my, you know, my battle buddies. And it's a really great feeling to be part of.
And Bama, what about you? What does Veterans Day mean to you?
Oh, wow. For me, it's just such an emotional day. And maybe for a little bit different reasons, coming from a family where my father and my grandfather both served, and Veterans Day wasn't celebrated like it is now. And even when I was in the Air Force, nobody was saying, "Hey, thank you for your service," or anything like that. It was just pretty much another day. And to see people that stand up and really acknowledge and celebrate the sacrifices that people made. I've heard so many amazing stories from veterans on, yeah, we had a lot of great times, but we also went through some hard stuff. And just to have people acknowledge it nowadays and celebrate with us, it is just amazing and makes my heart so happy and emotional. Just to have that acknowledgement that, man, our sacrifices were real, what people did. And, you know, this is the people that are alive, not the ones that died for their country, even though we were all willing to do so. So I hope everybody in the world just celebrates Veterans Day and with big cheers and big thank yous to people.
Well, Karen Bama Onosorg, Larissa Dianuski, and Lenore Branch, I appreciate your sacrifice. I appreciate you volunteering when many of us do not. And I appreciate you sharing your stories with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you.
Thank you again for this awesome opportunity to share.
Thank you so much.